We're reading this morning from 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read all of chapter 9. So I'll give you a minute to turn there in your Bible. All right, 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 1. This is what God's Word says. "Now it is superfluous for me to write you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers, so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Let's pray. Lord, we do come together this morning and we thank you for your unbelievable gift towards us, your unbelievable kindness and generosity towards us, not only in material things, but also in the gospel. Thank you for the wisdom of your word, Lord, and pray, just as we are taught, as Randy teaches this morning and that we hear, I just pray that your spirit would teach us, would encourage us, and would grow us. And as he sends in.
Well, good morning. I hope your Bibles are open to 2 Corinthians as we just read chapter 9 as we're going to spend our time there this morning. If you've ever done research on your family genealogy, you will quickly understand why it is called a family tree. Because it starts at the bottom of the page with you, and it goes up to your parents, and then to your parents' parents, and then so on to where you finally end up at the top of the page, where you've got lined up multiple sets of parents from many different cultures and even different dialects, all contributing something to your genetic makeup. And when you consider this, you can see that God in his sovereignty was creating you way back when your great, 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 etc. grandparents were born. In other words, as you sit here this morning, your looks, your personality, your intelligence, and physical talents were part of God's plan way back. But family trees also are meant to go forward. You have all these, this heritage from the past that creates you. But now as you are a parent and become grandparent, you pass on those same traits to your children and then to your grandchildren and so on. Now I want you to take that physical genealogy, and I want you to see it through spiritual eyes. Because if you're a Christian here this morning, you also have a spiritual family tree. Whoever it was that shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you also had the gospel of Christ shared with them, and so on. So there are many generations of Christians who had a part in you hearing and believing in Christ, and most of them you've never met. In Christ, you and I have a spiritual lineage. You were intentionally part of God's salvation plan, a branch that was designed to reproduce fruit, going all the way back to the cross and even further to Adam. And that's kind of staggering to think about, isn't it? So knowing that you have a spiritual family tree in your past, what do you think it will look like going forward? In heaven, what extended spiritual family will you have traced back to you? Now, I didn't ask that question to produce guilt or to make you feel like you need to be out evangelizing more, although that's not a bad idea. But what I want you to understand is there may be one person that you shared Christ with that maybe in some future spiritual generation, they share Christ with dozens and produce tremendous fruit that you may never see. Or maybe you brought someone to church once and didn't see any fruit at the time, but because they didn't give their life to Christ, but later on they did, and tens or hundreds came to Christ through their ministry or through their family tree. Or maybe you gave to a missions organization that God used to produce salvation fruit in another country that you will never step foot in, but yet your donation made you part of that gene pool. And maybe when you think of yourself, you don't see someone who has produced much fruit, but you faithfully taught your children to follow Christ. And because of that, think how many great, great, great spiritual grandchildren you may have in heaven. That's a pretty cool thought, don't you think? As we continue our study in 2 Corinthians this morning, we are continuing to look at the subject of giving. And yes, this is our third week on that subject. And if you don't want a fourth week, you better start giving. I'm just kidding. Again, like I said a couple weeks ago, we are not teaching on the subject of giving because we're trying to raise money. We are giving because we just so happen to be here at the end of chapters 8 and 9, and that is the subject that we have in front of us. But as we look at giving again, in chapter 9, verses 6 through the end of the chapter, there is much more to these verses than just writing a check. And I think we will see it paints a much larger picture on how God designed to build His church, or if I may, a picture that shows us how God will grow His family tree. The first thing I want us to look at this morning, God's family grows when we joyfully give what we have been given. God's family grows when we joyfully give what we have been given. Verse 6 starts with this. The point is this. In other words, everything that we have talked about in chapters 8 and 9 so far, the fact that God gives us the desire to give, the thought that we need to have a plan, that we need to give from what we have and not from what we don't have, everything that we've studied up till now, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I find it interesting that God had the Apostle Paul use a farming metaphor instead of a banking reference when teaching on giving. Because if it was only about giving money, why didn't he say, if you're going to be cheap and write small checks, then ministry won't thrive. So why don't you write big checks and say that ministry will be awesome, and then you need to do it cheerfully. Now, when some look at these verses, that's all they see, but I don't. And I think the farming picture is significant because when it talks about the spreading of seed, it is referring to seed that only God could produce from a plant that only God could grow in order to reap a bountiful harvest. Let me explain. It is our natural inclination when we think about farming to focus on the work of the farmer and then come to the conclusion that it was his work that produced a bountiful harvest. But where did the farmer get the seed from to sow? And the answer is not Home Depot. Skip to verse 10. He says this, "He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." So obviously, when verse 6 talks about sowing sparingly or sowing bountifully, the focus isn't on the farmer. The focus is on what God supplied to the farmer. And the same is true when we consider how we are to be involved in growing God's family, in that God supplies us, you and I, with everything we need to spread His word so He can grow His church. This is what Paul told the Corinthians back in his first letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "I planted," that's Paul, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." Now clearly, we are part of the process. We plant and we water and we till the ground, so we are certainly engaged in the work that God is doing. But it is God who ultimately produces the crop as well as seeds for future crops. So his point is, back in verse 6, it is not the farmer's responsibility to sow more seed than he has been given. But when he sees what God has provided for him, he makes a decision out of what he is given, knowing he needs to keep some of it so he can eat, to sow as much as he can with joy in anticipation of what God will use to grow a future bountiful harvest. Now let's apply this concept to giving of our monies, or giving of our time, or giving of our giftedness. Since it is God who gave it to me, and we were reminded of this in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, what do you have that you did not receive? I look at what God gave me, and I consider how He could use some of what I have to produce future believers in Christ. So I decide in my heart to give what I am able. Not to give more than I have or guilted into. I give it with joy in the anticipation that He will produce something wonderful with it. And it's that joy that God loves. Why? Because that's why He gave me money and He gave me giftedness in the first place. Henry Blackaby says in his book, Experiencing God, that God delights when we see what He is doing and join Him. God desires for every believer to use some of what He has given us for the next generation of believers. He isn't asking us to give more than we have or in comparison to what others have. He's asking us to give with joy what we have decided in our heart to give from what He generously gave us. God's family tree grows when we give from what He has given us. But we are about to see growing God's family isn't only about giving money. The second thing I want us to look at this morning is God's family tree grows as He supplies our every need all the time. When He supplies our every need all the time. Look at verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, when we see in verse 8, we see the word grace. That sometimes gets us a little bit confused because of the biblical meaning. But the biblical definition of grace is best understood as unmerited favor or the obtaining of something of value that you didn't earn or even deserve. Or simply, grace is a gift. So if we insert the word gift into verse 8, it would read something like this. God is able to pour out all his gifts to you so that you will have an abundance in all things at all times so that your good work will be in abundance. Now, if you tie that back to verse 6, if you use God's gifts sparingly, your good works will be sparse. But if you use God's gifts in abundance, your good works will be in abundance. So what is the grace or gift that God gave us? Because in verse 9, he quotes from Psalm 112 when he says, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And the he in that verse is referring to a righteous man that distributes something freely to the poor. Now, when we think about the poor, we usually think, and we think about giving to them, we usually think about giving them money or food or clothing or something like that. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here. So hang with me for a minute. The word righteousness appears twice in verses 9 and 10. Here in 9, it is clearly implied that a righteous man gives freely to the poor. And then he says his righteousness endures forever. And then in verse 10 it says, God will multiply your seed for sowing, and the harvest of your righteousness will increase. Well, what does that mean? Well, back again in verse 8, we learn that God gave us gifts or grace so we could produce good works. But when you consider Isaiah 64:6, we are told that all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. So in order for us, you and I, to produce good works, God would have to give us his righteousness as a gift. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So if God gave us righteousness as a gift, what are we supposed to distribute freely to those who don't have what we have? Righteousness. We are to sow or spread what we have been given, and then he will increase the harvest of our righteousness. Do you see that? We are to sow or spread what we have been given, and then he will increase that righteousness. Listen to parts of Psalm 112 that verse 9 was quoted from, and you will see that this righteousness is an overwhelming theme. Starting in verse 1, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. That's righteousness. Verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm. He is trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph over his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You see, in that psalm, righteousness, the righteous are established. They will endure. They will be remembered forever. The righteous are unafraid of the future. Their heart is firm. They are trusting in the Lord. Why? Because they have more money? No. Because God gave them righteousness. And if we have this righteousness through faith in Christ, we are to distribute it to every man who stands poor and hopeless before God. So let's put all this together. through Christ, God assigned His righteousness to us. We who were once poor are now rich because of His incredible gift and grace. And now we have all we need, all the time, to sow that same seed of righteousness that He supplied to you and I, so that He can produce a harvest of righteousness through us. Or simply, the righteous seed He freely gave us, He uses to grow His family tree through us. Now let's understand something here. The righteous seed that God gave you and I is scattered by us in many different ways. It is not only through evangelism, as some would assume that this verse is saying, because the context of this passage is actually centered on the giving of money or other monetary resources. If you remember from our previous study, Paul and his companions are collecting monetary gifts from the church in Macedonia and also this church here in Corinth in order to supply aid to the poor in the Jerusalem church. So the seed that Paul is asking them to sow is not to go on a missions trip to Jerusalem and do door-to-door evangelism. We need to understand there is a much broader understanding of what God supplies to each of us in order to scatter the seed of righteousness for His harvest. When you became a believer in Christ, you were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, you were also given spiritual gifts. And every one of those gifts, God supplies in order for His church to have everything it needs all the time for a bountiful harvest. Some are given the gift of giving to supply monetary needs. Some are given the gift of teaching to mature disciples. Some are given the gifts of service to bear the burdens of others. And some are given the gift of administration to take care of important details in ministry, and so on and on and on. Add to these gifts, that God also created you and me through our physical family tree with certain personalities, intelligence, abilities, and talents, in order to couple with those spiritual gifts so that we can abound in every good work that He has laid out ahead of us. Now, that good work can be through words. It could be through our love for a neighbor. It could be through a good work ethic so our boss can see Christ in our faithfulness. And it can be through the smallest of gifts that you may not even think matters. All God desires for you to do is to look at what He has given you and with joy distribute it to others. Take a minute to think about what you have. We have houses. Who should we invite over to dinner? We have cars. Who needs us to drive them somewhere? We have Starbucks money we can spare. What person or ministry needs it more than me? Extra clothing in our closet that many would be so blessed to have. 10 Bibles in our houses collecting dust for the many who have none. Bikes we don't ride. Furniture we don't need. Closets and garages so full of stuff that we haven't seen in years. And I'm just talking about my house. We have also been given the ability to speak, to listen, to care for others, to laugh with others, and the capacity to care for and to love each other. And when you add to this the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit and all the spiritual and physical giftedness we have been given by God Himself, along with the righteousness we could never obtained on our own, how sad it would be if we were to look at all of this and say, I have nothing to give. You and I cannot outgive God. If you sow the seeds He gave you with liberality, you will never run out. Why? Because God grows His spiritual family freely, supplying our every need all the time. so that God's next harvest, the next generation of believers, can be beyond all that we could ask or imagine. The third point this morning is God's family grows as we thank and glorify Him with our generosity. Excuse me. Look at verse 11 and 12. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. I got to read that again. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. I want you to see how this works. As we look at what God has supplied to us, we see how His incredible generosity. He gave us righteousness, salvation, a few extra pennies in our pocket, talents, and so on. And because of this, we are so thankful that God has enriched us in every way that we are generous with joy in every way. And when our thanksgiving creates generosity, everyone that we are generous to also gives thanksgiving to God, turning our thanksgiving into many thanksgivings. When Paul and I were first married, there was a young couple in our church that their plan was to go out to the mission field. And we found out that they were a little bit short of money, and so Paul and I decided to give them a small gift of cash so that they could help them with their finances. A few weeks later, I heard that they gave the money that we gave to them to someone who needed it more than they did. You see, it wasn't only Paula and I who helped them financially. Other peoples did too. And out of their abundance, they gave to someone else that we never even met. My gift, our gift, enriched them in such a way that they could be generous to others. Not only were they thankful, they took what they had extra and made others thankful, or an overflowing of many thanksgivings. By the way, the wife of that couple told me later that in that year they made only $7,000 in salaries. And she told me that he gave almost all of that away to others because God continued to supply their need by other people in other ways. How could they be so generous when they had so little? Or why would we desire to be so generous if we had so little? Because they and you and I have been given a gift that far exceeds dollars and cents. And I don't believe that being enriched in verse 11 is limited to things. In fact, I think riches is referring to life and salvation rather than material things. And while any monetary gift that we give or receive, we should be thankful for it when it's given to us. But yet, it is God's gift of eternal life and salvation that should stand at the center of all thanksgiving. And that gift is His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 13, by their approval of this service, or by their thankfulness that you supplied the needs of the saints, by the approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. At the very core and purpose of any God-honoring generosity, it should be our confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our giving of thanks to God for His inexpressible gift to us. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is inexpressible because it's a story that never ends. It's the good news that continues to be told generation after generation as God grows His family. And when the gospel is the center of all that we share with others, the family will grow strong and tight. We will long for each other to grow in our faith. We will pray for each other as we see ministry thrive. And all because of the surpassing grace or surpassing gift of God to you and me, the inexpressible gift of Jesus. Listen. As God gives the farmer the seed, water to make it sprout, sun and soil to make it grow, He also gave you and me the seed of righteousness, His Son, His Word. And all that we need to do, and all we need to do is to take that truth and spread it both physically and spiritually so that there will be a great harvest of many thanksgivings. Listen to Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I want to end this morning with a reminder of a couple things. The work of God is not up to you alone. You are one branch of a gigantic family tree that God is growing. And like the parable of the talents where God gave some five and some ten and some five and some one, it is never meant to be bigger is better. It is about using what you have been given to bring honor to your Savior. And this passage is not to say we are to be fruit-producing machines either. God's plan for you and I to serve Him also includes rest. He created a day of rest. He required a year every 7 years for the soil to rest. We are told to bear fruit in our season, which is not all year long, and there is a time to sow and there is a time to reap. So there will be times that you and I have much to offer, and there will be times when we need to receive. But in every case, always we are to be satisfied with what God has supplied us and give joyfully from that because God loves a cheerful giver. You know, sometimes we think, since we aren't grand evangelists like Billy Graham or Billy Sunday, or great preachers like Charles Spurgeon or Charles Wesley, we think of ourselves as something less. But what if you were the great, great, great spiritual grandparent of one of those men, where you led someone to Christ who several generations led those men to Christ, and you never even had the opportunity to meet them. But yet every believer that grew in Christ from the ministry of those dynamic preachers that may number into the thousands was because you were faithful with what little you have been given, making you just as vital to all those believers in Christ as the famous preachers who bore the fruit. Every time you serve your Lord Jesus Christ with gifts He gave you, every time you give a gift from the abundance that He allowed you to have, God's family tree grows. Oh, you may not see it today, or you may not even see it in your lifetime. But if you lived giving from what He has given you with joy, when you stand before your Savior, I think you will be staggered by your part in God's family tree that you never even knew existed as you hear the Savior say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Pray with me, would you? Father, we thank You for all the gifts, all the grace, all the mercy that you have showered on us. Thank you for the wonderful gift of righteousness that we could have never attained on our own. Thank you for all the things that we own and all the things that surround us that we benefit from. Food that is in abundance, clothing in abundance. Seems like everywhere we turn, there just seems to be an abundance of things. Lord, you've given that to us. Lord, I pray that you would lay on our heart that we are to never say we have nothing to give because you have been so very generous to us. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts to give to you, not just money, not just gifts and talents, but Lord, I pray that we would share the righteousness with whatever means you've given to us so that we can grow the next generation of believers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.